Thank you, Ken, and thanks for confirming all of the information, even for me. Yes, I will be moving after today to the Wednesday slot. So that just the timing of that will just work out better for me. My husband had requested that we be able to spend some time together. Even though he works out of the house and is here every day, he is still working. So it's not like we have the opportunity to sometimes go and do the things that we would like to do together during the week. So the weekends are still that time for us. And I'm honoring his request and still continuing to be here in the sanctuary on Wednesdays. So with that being said, it was really just a gift that it turned out that I was able to slip into that time slot that Regina was vacating. I had made a request earlier to Ken, and there was nothing available except for a 10, I believe it was like a 10:30 slot or a 10 o'clock slot in the evening, and I'm already sawing logs by then, so that just wouldn't work for me. And literally, like the next, I don't think it was a week later that he contacted me to let me know about this availability. So I love that it flowed so smoothly and easily, and I appreciate the opportunity to continue reading from Experience Your Perfect Soul, which I have been doing for, gosh, I don't know, it's been a long time now, second time through the book, and we are now in chapter 7, which is Elise Morgan. We just finished Ruby Nelson, which I absolutely loved Ruby Nelson's section. Yeah, I just do. And so I'm going to go right into chapter 7 with Annalise Morgan today. I really feel to just be with the direct path quotes by Ken, and thank you very much. And again, welcome to everybody here in the room, anybody that might be listening on the radio. Yeah, thanks for joining. So I'm going to start right in with Elise Morgan. I'm on page 204. I'm starting on page 204, right at the top. Walk forth in joy, confident that I lead the way. Allow no thought of darkness, no false suggestion to emanate from your lips. Do not gaze on the house you have left behind. And that's the beginning, that's the opening for Elise Morgan. Again, walk forth in joy, confident that I lead the way. And for me, that it seconds what Regina has shared, at least in the last week or two. Maybe it was this week, maybe last week, about doubt. watching the mind, introducing thoughts of doubt. And this is saying, do just the opposite. See that the doubt maybe has appeared as a thought or an uncertainty about what to say or do. And turn away from that, walking forth in joy with confident that I lead the way. Allow no thought of darkness, which would be that doubt, no false suggestion, whatever the doubt might be saying to you, you should, you shouldn't, yes, no, I'm not sure, maybe, I have no idea. All the ways that we speak to ourselves in our mind, and then in fact listen to it and emanate from our lips what we're listening to. And this is saying, don't allow that. Allow no thought of darkness, no false suggestion to emanate from your lips. So not only do we seem to have a thought of darkness, a thought that might suggest something, then we talk about it on top of it. We give it even more energy by speaking about it. It says, do not gaze on the house you have left behind. So this particular piece that we're going to begin with, that was just the introduction, is called The Day's Work. And right away, before I even know what it's going to say, it makes me think of Regina's talk this morning, where a portion of it was devoted to the idea of being busy, working, and how even in the functions of the day, the attention can be within. And of course, that is the ultimate goal, that attention or consciousness is always focused within, even as we go about the day's work. So let's see what this says. When busy with the day's duties, keep as fully turned to me as when you are silent, resting in my presence. And that's exactly what she said as well. You know, we sit for meditation with our practices. Those are our chosen times of deep silence, where there's non-activity. And this is saying, at the same time, when you're busy with the duties of the day, which can be as simple as, you know, washing dishes and vacuuming and taking a shower and having a job and raising children, or, you know, all those things, keep as fully turned to me then, when you're busy, as when you are silent, resting in my presence. Because this presence, my presence, the presence never goes away. The rest of that presence never goes away. So even in the idea of, you know, busy, 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 there's rest. As long as I'm turned within, my focus, not on the chore at hand, especially if it's something as rote as doing dishes. I mean, you can do dishes without, you know, any thought. It's you can turn within while you're doing dishes and love that you're doing dishes. I remember Regina sharing that she used to hate to pull weeds or do dishes, and she was causing herself pain by believing that thought. That was one of those thoughts of darkness that suggested to her falsely that she had to hate this chore or this day, this activity, this duty, you know, called something as simple as washing dishes or pulling weeds. That was just something that a thought in her mind suggested. It wasn't even her thought. It was just a thought of a darkness that appeared in her mind. And for a while, she believed that thought until she recognized, I don't have to believe that anymore. I can love pulling weeds. I can love doing dishes. It's still another thought, but it's a thought in the right direction, a thought on the bridge to where we no longer even think about the chore of doing dishes. I mean, Michael Langford has a funny one where he says, you know, there has to be some sense of attention on not putting toothpaste, on not putting shaving cream on your toothbrush. I mean, we do, we are using our conscious attention in a constructive manner, but we're not attached to what the duty is as much as we are focused within, being guided within the duty. The duty rests in the awareness, not the other way around. Everything is within the awareness. And if my attention is with the awareness, I'm guided in the littlest of activities to the biggest of activities. I'm guided in everything from that space of resting in the awareness. Go into your day's work with a sense of the wholeness of life and realize that fulfillment is taking place now, today. Answers will come instantaneously when you realize that you are one with me in your heart and mind. And our thought for the day definitely reflects being one will, being the will of God, resting in the truth of the will of God, which is what I am, where all answers arise. So again, go into your day's work with a sense of the wholeness of life. And that would mean that you are within. That's the wholeness of life. The only splintering that seems to be happening is always when our attention is focused outside. The wholeness of life emanates from within awareness, not outside of awareness, as if there's something like that to begin with. And it says, and realize that fulfillment is taking place now, today. It's not a future event. It's not a past event. It's not an event at all. Wholeness is life. It's an aspect of life. It is what life is. It's whole, complete, already fulfilled, already accomplished, today, right now, in this moment. And this is beautiful. Answers will come instantaneously. Again, that fulfillment is taking place now, today. The answers come instantaneously. When you realize that you're one with me in your heart and mind. Let the words sink into your mind. I am living in complete trust, in eternal love, in the fullness of joy, now, this minute. So let those words sink into your mind. I am living in complete trust, in eternal love, in the fullness of joy, now, this minute. Wow. As I'm perusing this next thing that I'm going to read, I'm always pleasantly surprised, and there's like a little giddiness about it for me that the synchronicity of how all of these teachings, starting from this morning with Karen Wirth, and my own reading from our tip of the day, the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, my sharing of what the word work means in the sanctuary this morning while Regina was speaking is now being repeated here. The word work means watchful love, because she was talking about, you know, the day's work and working and how that tied into our practice, and recognizing that even during that time that we call work, watchful love, as the meaning to the word work is occurring when our attention is within, living in complete trust, in eternal love, in the fullness of joy, in this work. And that's why the word work is being interpreted to mean watchful love. And I absolutely just love that reinterpretation. It just feels so much of a lifting of like a burden. I personally don't know a lot of people that absolutely love their job, for instance, their work, that the situation in which they seem to bring in a salary. Very few people in my life have I known that just love their work without reservation. And so to move out of that suffering, that idea of work as a form of a necessary form of labor in which you can, seemingly support yourself monetarily, to see work as watchful love, even while you're working in, say, a situation that's not necessarily what you say you love, but you're at least allowing or accepting it, to maybe just refocus the mind to being watchfully loving, to watching love itself, which is you, to being focused within. And also, if your attention is drawn out, to remembering that the love exists in everything, as everything, for everything, for you. Let go, relax, and work in complete faith in the quietness of love. The greatest work that man can do is to gain freedom, love, truth. The greatest work that man can do is to gain freedom, love, and truth. So true. Yeah. Okay, so this next piece is called As You Live. Do not be over concerned as to your numerous trivial arrangements. Cease this worrying, WHIRRING. Cease this worrying in your mind over unimportant details. Senseless thoughts create confusion. Yeah. And I'll just comment on my experience this week with a friend of mine who just went through a remodel on a home she purchased recently. And she was sharing from her angst over not getting along with the contractor she hired, not getting along with the kitchen designer she hired. And she was sharing all of her concerns over the numerous trivial arrangements that seemed to have to be made necessarily in order for this work to be done the way she wanted it done. And she was sharing about the worrying and worrying in her mind over these details, and how the interaction between herself and these people she hired was very conflicted and argumentative, and one side saying this went on, and the other side saying this went on, each having completely different memories of what was said along the way or not said along the way. And somewhere was the truth in all of that. And in my mind, as I was listening, it was easy for me to notice how that occurs in my own mind, where if I am believing a thought that is worrying in my mind, that is just twirling around and reappearing and speaking very loudly and insistently that I'm right or I'm justified or I'm the boss or I know better or I think I know. Those types of senseless thoughts not only create confusion, but as she acknowledged, she was shaking and angry in her conversation with these people. And it reminded me of what A Course in Miracles teaches us: would you rather be right or happy? We can resolve conflict, but if my mind is insistent, absolutely insistent, that it is right, there will not be peace for myself. There will simply be confusion and unhappiness and suffering. And I was, grateful for her sharing her own story as I took that as an opportunity to be still and to listen and to see where in my own mind I do the same thing. And in that way, rather than sitting in judgment of, well, why didn't she see what she was doing? Why didn't she blah, 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 blah? Rather than going into any sort of judgment around her sharing, I took the opportunity to reflect within my own mind, to clean the mirror of my own mind, because it's simply a reflection, a piece of my own mind, seen and heard outside of myself as if it's not a part of me, but it is. And I can bless in that instance. I can see this sister as giving me an opportunity to heal my own mind around these same issues. Unimportant details, trivial arrangements, like lots of trivial arrangements, and lots of unimportant details, senseless thoughts, things that are absolutely meaningless. And yet, sometimes I find myself gripping to those things as if, it's a life and death situation that, it doesn't turn out the way I want it to be. And is that really true? Is it absolutely true that I'm simply going to fall apart if this doesn't happen the way I think it should? Is that really true? Or is that just some kind of, senseless thought that's once again interjecting itself, some false suggestion, some thought of darkness arising within the code that I notice and make a decision to follow or not? So as Regina was sharing, we're all at different phases of our practices, and I'm still noticing every single day, as much as I possibly can, what's going on in the mind and turning away from that madness, those senseless thoughts that create confusion. Be simple, quiet, with no ready words bursting forth in quick succession. Heed the soul's innate freedom. Do not form the habit of words. Mixed results appear when you are not true to the one who dwells within your soul. Be honest with yourself. Wow. I mean, before I turn the page, I'm going to read from the very beginning of that piece again, because I want to. And again, it's called As You Live. Do not be over concerned as to your numerous trivial arrangements. Cease this worrying in your mind over unimportant details. Senseless thoughts create confusion. Be simple, quiet, with no ready words bursting forth in quick succession. Heed the soul's innate freedom. Do not form the habit of words. Mixed results appear when you are not true to the one who dwells within your soul. Be honest with yourself. Realize joy now, in the present moment. See that no troublesome memory is stored in your mind. New opportunities sweep through the present, unlimited moment. New opportunities sweep through the present, unlimited moment. So, you know, my question in my mind that appeared was, so how do I limit moments? By thinking. For instance, if I'm involved in a conversation with someone and they are speaking to me and my mind starts to think about what they said, that would be a limited moment in that I took my present moment attention away from the speaker and placed that attention instead on a snippet of what they were sharing with me and started off down a trail in my own mind. Imagining something along the lines of, you know, whatever it was that I am attending to. And if my mind is over there and not listening to this person who still might be in front of me speaking to me while I'm looking at them and somewhere else thinking that I'm listening to them and I'm not, the opportunity, the newness of the opportunity that they are sharing with me is gone because I'm not there. I'm doing something else. I'm busy. And not in the way that this is speaking about wanting us to be, work or busyness. Not in the way that we're asked to be watchful love. Watchful love would be attentive, would stay right with the conversation, would not respond with words unless asked, would not think of necessarily interjecting, putting my two cents in, giving my opinion about, deciding I have something important to add to it. If I think I have something important to add to it, I must have been thinking about it. And if I'm thinking about it, I'm not listening to you. I'm listening to my thinking. And it's, you know, we use the troublesome memory. The previous paragraph talked about the troublesome memory, the stuff that we store in the mind, the old stories that appear over and over and over and over again, that are simply opportunities in the present moment, new opportunities with the same old story in this present moment, where we can allow an unlimited moment. To replace the limitations of the attachment to mind and thought and old ideas and memories and what was or used to be. I still think of Ram Dass telling an audience, you know, we milk the story to death. And as we do that, these new opportunities that are ever available, miracles are natural after all. It's what the Course calls a tragic waste of time. Missing the opportunity to realize the joy now in the present moment. You have only one source. One power, one shining presence to look to, only one spirit, only one life. When you give me your mind empty of all ideas, I fill the chambers with furnishings of eternal glory. Glow in the warmth of my love. My love springs from my life in your soul. I am limitless. Why do you search for useless occupations? Why try to live without me? My love is flowing to you in waves of life-giving strength. Do not inhibit the flow. Plunge into my ocean of love. And I'm going to read that page from top to bottom again. Realize joy now in the present moment. See that no troublesome memory is stored in your mind. New opportunities sweep through the present, unlimited moment. You have only one source, one power, one shining presence to look to, only one spirit, only one life. When you give me your mind empty of all ideas, I fill the chambers with furnishings of eternal glory. Glow in the warmth of my love. My love springs from my life in your soul. I am limitless. Why do you search for useless occupations? Why try to live without me? My love is flowing to you in waves of life-giving strength. Do not inhibit the flow. Plunge into my ocean of love. So the next piece is called The Silent Place. Go into the quiet place of the Most High. And I just want to say, guys, sometimes I just want to shut my eyes, like right now, and just quit and go into meditation. I recognize I'm here in the room for a purpose of sharing this, but my overwhelming sense is to shut up, to let go of the words, to sink into the quiet, to be with the silence. So yeah, sometimes it's like, I just want to bail on you guys. And that's the sense that I also get, you know, when I'm not here in the room and I'm doing my homework or my reading for gentle healing or just my daily practices, it's not hard for me to tell when it's time to close my eyes. It's almost like an overwhelming, just close the book and close your eyes and go into your meditation now. I don't try to force that into a time slot per se. I'm pretty consistent about my practices, but I don't adhere to it has to happen at 10 o'clock precisely. I let my inner self, I listen to that. Okay, so the silent place. Go into the quiet place of the Most High. Wait in trustful stillness with no strain of time. Soon you will feel grace within you flowing forth in divine streams. If the mind wanders, keep calling it gently but firmly back to the words of meditation. And of course, this isn't the first time we've heard those kinds of instructions. Michael Langford's awareness, watching awareness meditation instructions very much encourage, you know, if you notice thoughts, if you notice the mind wandering, if you notice yourself paying attention to ideas, simply stop and turn within. Simply be aware of being aware. You become aware of the fact that the mind has wandered, and you turn that same awareness towards itself. And notice it says gently. It's like Regina shared this morning, that quote from that piece from I Am That, and Becky also spoke to that this morning, that idea of not bullying yourself. Not bullying yourself. It's not about beating yourself up that the mind maybe wandered for way longer than you thought it should or could. Or, you know, at this point, I should be better than I am. I should be more focused than I am. I should be more aware than I am. I should be. What voice would that be? Who says that? That's the bullying voice. The voice that's not you. So again, be gentle in noticing that, and notice the noticer. So if the mind wanders, keep calling it gently but firmly back to the words of meditation. Be true to the words until the mind and heart unite in belief. Then comes the silence. In the stillness, faith uncovers the living presence to you. You will be humble as your longed for freedom overflows. So again, that page one more time. Go into the quiet place of the Most High. Wait in trustful stillness with no strain of time. Soon you will feel grace within you flowing forth in divine streams. If the mind wanders, keep calling it gently but firmly back to the words of meditation. Be true to the words until the mind and heart unite in belief. Then comes the silence. In the stillness, faith uncovers the living presence to you. You will be humble as your longed for freedom overflows. And Regina was talking about the various stages in meditation today, which I'm definitely going to go back and re-listen to today's sharing. Does anybody remember which section of I Am That the reading came from offhand? I was glad to find out that it's an ebook available on our Awakening Together site, and I've already brought it up to start reading. I know she's been sharing from that in her class, her I Am That class. Oh, thanks. 48, section 48. For some reason, I was thinking it was 8. Section 48, 4 and 8. My husband's favorite number and my favorite number, 48. Yep. Thanks for remembering that for me. I wanted to go back and read that, and I I didn't know, so I was gonna wait until it was posted, but I figured maybe somebody here might know. So God, thank you for letting me know, so now I can just go ahead and check it out again. But this faith uncovering the living presence feels to me like what is beyond my present understanding of what awareness is. That objectless awareness, even before that, there's the awareness that's aware of something, and I'm turning my attention towards the awareness that is aware of the awareness that is aware of objects. I'm not anywhere close to being fully immersed into the pure awareness of objectlessness, of unmanifestation by any stretch of the imagination. And to me, the stillness that it's speaking of here, the living presence that faith uncovers here, is more along the lines of her first principle of God, the absolute, just to put a name to it. That's how this feels to me. I place my faith in awareness of awareness and rest there without concern for what is beyond that. There's no comprehension in my present understanding at all of what that means. And so I don't spend a lot of time, in any way trying to figure that out. But I love this notion that you will be humble as your longed for freedom overflows. I can't imagine, not being humble in having a direct experience of, complete freedom overflowing. Unlimited freedom. So this next piece, thank goodness, is called faith, because again, that's what it says is needed. Faith. I still have to have faith. I still have to participate at least in that practice. Faith, having some faith, a little willingness. And this piece is called Faith. So it says, I will take you in the path of divine content, and walk with you in the garden of serenity. Oh, I will take you in the path of divine content and walk with you in the garden of serenity. Just on a personal note, the garden piece of it is sweet to me because I am a gardener. I love to garden, and I love to pull weeds. I love to tend to a beautiful yard, to watch flowers bloom, to plant seeds, and oftentimes use that time in of work, tending to the garden, whether it's flowers, mostly flowers, but sometimes vegetables too these days. To think that he's describing the garden of serenity, that was my experience. It felt like a serene experience because my mind, while it was doing, simple work, it was a it, I would actually say to my plants, I would thank my plants, my roses, for sharing their scent with me. I would thank my tomatoes for blooming fruit for me. I would thank the nectarine tree for the juiciness of its gifts. I would, pull the weed and see how deep a root, a tap root, can go, and how using a trowel to dig out all of its tentacles was necessary for it to not reappear. Pulling it, from the top is a futile waste of time. Pinching it off from the top only, is a temporary fix. And those kinds of simple activities had divine content. They were lessons for me in my own practices. Am I simply skimming on the top of my efforts, of my practices, or am I engaged in a deep excavation, even if it's painful, of everything that needs to come up for healing during this purification process? And sometimes it's a mixed bag, that sense of wanting to seemingly avoid pain, avoid looking at things like being mean, lying, being deceitful, wanting to be right, insisting my way is the way we should go on this, criticizing, condemning. I mean, looking at all of those things, in the Garden of Serenity, as opposed to this bullying myself as these things come up, and not only noticing those things, but then beating myself to a pulp because they're coming up. That's not what we're being asked to do. We're certainly being asked to take whatever path we're taking, but this divine content, this walking with me in the Garden of Serenity, always is the peace, is the availability, is the wholeness of life. And it's my choice whether I want to view all of it from that lens or not. But it's the hand is being, it's like the hand is being outstretched. Here, I'll take you in the path of divine content, and I'll walk with you in the Garden of Serenity. Stand joyously on your rock of faith. Let no voice but mine come through your heart. So as this purification process is going on, as the mess and the muck is stirred up, as the looking at, the ugliness of the little self and seeing it appear, seeing it in action, noticing it is occurring, it says, stand on the rock of faith during those times. Acknowledge that it's happening, if you can, while it's happening, even as that flow of energy seems to be strongly working through you and you're capitulating to it in that moment, at the same time, looking at it like, whoa, what just happened here and now? Recognize that there is another voice. Another voice available right then, right then. It says, when you stand on your rock of faith, rightness echoes through eternity. Rightness, that's the only rightness I need be concerned about. Not little me rightness, separate me rightness, the crazy voice of rightness. It's like I said to my friend who's on the spiritual journey, on her own path. The only sharing I shared with her in regards to her story was, well, I said to her, the thing I ask myself when I find myself shaking and upset over seemingly something that someone else has done, and I'm convinced that I'm right in my position is, you know, do I want to be right or happy? Because I know I'm not happy if I'm shaking and, have just got done screaming at somebody. It seems pretty obvious. Do I want to be right or happy? And the ego wants both. And she said, her comment was, I said to her, I generally, do not feel good her point is, she doesn't want to stuff it, to stuff what she has to say. And I would suspect maybe all of us here have experienced that feeling, like I just need to say what I have to say. And have done so. I know I have zillions of times, and I probably, may do that again in the future. I suspect I probably will. At the same time, the question I ask myself now is, which voice needs to say this? What is my purpose in saying it? Is it absolutely necessary? Because her claim was that she felt better after saying that. But she admitted the feeling better didn't last long. She was, you know how you get that, like if you have something to say and you just go off and you say it, there's that almost like that, I'm just so glad I got that off my chest. Even though you're shaking and upset, you're so glad you get that off of your chest. But the big lie is afterwards, when you have time to reflect on those situations, and it doesn't take long for me, you feel terrible. You feel guilty. You feel ashamed. You can't believe you just did that. I mean, all of that comes in there too. So I know when that happens. I know without a doubt, I listened to the wrong voice. Why would I continue to do that for that temporary rush feeling of righteousness? Why would I do that? Is it really worth it? I mean, really? And at this point, for me, it's not. I mean, it's definitely not worth it. Yeah, it's the Cheryl says it's the addiction to our feelings comes into play. Default listening to the wrong voice. Yes. And then trying to tell ourselves, to lie to ourselves and say that made me feel better until, several hours later, maybe when you're feeling rotten about what you just did. So it can't be both. So this again, real quick, I will take you in the path of divine content and walk with you in the garden of serenity. Stand joyously on your rock of faith. Let no voice but mine come through your heart. When you stand on your rock of faith, rightness echoes through eternity. Go beyond the limit you have set for yourself. Release your joy. Stretch forth your arms in love. Great is the speed of light's response. Be silent in the great unknown love, the presence of untold joy. And that's it. I'm ending on page 208 on a beautiful note. Thanks for joining me, guys. I will see you Wednesday at 2 o'clock. Have a great day. Thanks. Bye now.